The following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcast Network. For advertising information or to find more great podcasts, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com and follow us on Twitter at RealTheUnderdog.
Welcome to another episode of Get Paid, your one-stop shop for all things fantasy, gambling, and daily fantasy. You are listening, as usual, to Sean and Brad. Brad's back this week. I'm so happy. Brad, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, I missed you guys so much.
Yeah, we had Brad on Functional Sportsaholic last week, so if you're not a usual listener to that show, you can just search for Functional Sportsaholic. It's a black and red logo. Brad and I were talking about all things. That's more of a sit at the bar and kind of talk about stuff show. Isn't that about right?
Yeah, just whatever comes to mind, going back and forth, a little debate,
yeah,
a little repartee. I dug it.
Yeah, it was a good show.
It was good.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We do that, we're going through right now. We're continuing our 2018 NFL season reviews, so we'll talk about some of the teams. And I think we're gonna be a little jazz like. I think we're just gonna, as I said to Brad before we recorded the show, we're gonna bebop and scat a little bit, just kind of see do we where we go. So let's get that roll. Yes. As everybody turns their radio dial or their iPhones off and throw it out the window. Before we get rolling with the Broncos, the 2018 Broncos, I want to remind everybody, Instagram, I'm at @TFS_Sean. That's SEAN. I'm also, that's my Twitter, that I'm at @TFS_Sean. I am shin deep at this, shin deep so far with the 2019 Fantasy Football Almanac and Draft Guide. I have basically everything I can do. It's done. I just have to wait for the NFL schedule to get released so that I can finish the projections, finish the player write-ups. But then after the NFL draft, man, I think I'm going to have this thing published in like early May this year. So very good stuff. But let's keep going with the division reviews of the 2018 season. We're talking about the Denver Broncos here, which was, to me, Brad, I don't know if you agree or disagree here, but I did not like that the Broncos kept Vance Joseph coming into 2018. I thought he should have been canned. I thought the team was not responding. I thought they tanked kind of tanked, like purposely didn't win, but I just think they went into the dumpster, you know, at the end of the 2017. Now we're into 2018 and he couldn't ever get them going. They finished 6-10, but what do you think about them, man?
I mean, how long has the guy been there? Was it a season?
He was there for 1 year, but the thing was they started okay and then just fell off a cliff. It's not like they were.
That's not a good sign. I don't enjoy this guy just based on his body language and the look in his eye. It just bothers me. I feel like
– the look in his eye.
I don't know. He doesn't do it for me. I think looks matter by way of such prestigious positions like that, you know? Maybe prestigious is a strong word, but it's a very powerful position on the team.
Yeah, I guess so. But then the counter argument is like Bill Belichick just basically has looked like, you know, he's been mopping floors for a living. You know, he comes in with it's not enough that he wears a sweatshirt. He cuts the sleeves off the sweatshirt. You know, this is the GOAT.
Yes, I agree with that, dude. But he has earned that, right? I don't think he's always done that. And by way of looks, I'm speaking about the air at which somebody has.
Mm-hmm.
Also, their physical appearance. You know, I think both of those are just as important.
I'm hiring a head coach based on physical appearance, which I understand what you're saying. It's just a funny thing to hear, especially in today's, uber sensitive day and age where everybody's like, look shouldn't matter.
Everything matters, dude. This is real life. You know, listen.
Yeah.
You know, you can get your hands tatted up and you can buzz your head and put swastikas on your neck, but don't be surprised if you're not going to get that interview.
Yeah.
You know, like,
you don't see a lot of bank tellers with, hand tattoos handing out the 20s and 100s, right?
Okay, for sure. So proceeding forward, back to your original question, I don't like his demeanor. I don't like the way he rolls and carries himself. And then extending forward, he did fall off a cliff. Now, 1 year, is that enough of a sample size? Maybe the talent's not there. Maybe he has guys on his team that he didn't pick, you know, and they don't really work for his system. So that's another thing to consider. I think anybody is worth more than one year. I really do.
Yeah, it's tough for me. I agree. So, like, I thought the Arizona situation last year, which I guess we'll talk about next week, but the Steve Wilks situation where, you know, they draft Josh Rosen. The Cardinals did not think they had a shot at Josh Rosen coming into the draft, and he just happened to slip, almost like Aaron Rodgers slipped, you know, during that famous draft back in the day. And so what Arizona had is basically a quarterback the organization thought could be their franchise quarterback. But then they had a defensive-minded head coach who really wasn't looking to start an offense and groom a young quarterback. So in that situation, I thought, oh, yeah, you know what? It does make sense to fire Steve Wilks. I didn't really understand the hiring there to begin with. I never really thought it was a fit. And so for them, you know, just basically hitting the detonation button, I thought that made sense. Now, rewind a few seasons ago when, Hugh Jackson was in his first season in Cleveland. And I think to your argument, Brad, Cleveland did everything they could to basically strip their talent off their roster and accumulate draft picks that season. Uh-huh. So it's like they were playing with a bunch of young guys. They had a young roster. They had a lot of turnover that year. So when Hugh Jackson went, I think in his first season, if I'm not mistaken, when he went like 1-15, I was like, well, That's a really bad year, but they fought through some games. Maybe they were a little better than 1-15. Now, when he went 0-16, I thought, gosh, you got to get rid of the guy. But you understood. Now, in this Vance Joseph situation, I feel like the team regressed, you know, and I feel like they regressed hard in that first season. And, you know, this is John Elway anyway. He, like, who even knows what he's thinking? I don't know. You know, he's probably just brushing and putting that teeth whitener on. Those horse teeth. Face. Is. Oh, my gosh.
All right.
He is a horse face.
He is a horse face.
Call him Nelly.
Stand that guy.
Yeah. You know, I don't know what's up with Elway, man, but for example, so they hired I'm kind of teasing our 2019 previews, which we'll do in a few months, but you got Fangio, who they hired from the Bears, defensive guru, right? Finally gets a shot as a head coach. Like, what's the hiring? Like, just like last year in Arizona, it's like, what is the move there? What is the move? I mean, you get rid of John Fox and you bring in what's his face? The guy I can't remember the head, Kubiak. You bring in Kubiak, you win a Super Bowl in the Kubiak system, you bring in the offensive guy. Then you ditch him and you go Vance Joseph. You go defense. Oh, well, you don't ditch him, right? He had the health issues. But you go to Vance Joseph, you go defense. When they already had a defense in Wade Phillips that was like a crazy good defense.
A crazy, crazy good defense. Right. You got defense locked down, man. You got to focus on the other side.
Right.
The one is already taken care of.
Right. And so what do? They get rid of Wade Phillips. They bring in Vance Joseph. They change the scheme, and then the defense regresses. Okay.
Right.
So now we're in a situation where what are they doing? They hire Fangio, who came over from the Ravens, but basically he runs that John Fox-like system, who they already had in the organization. And now they have Bill Musgrave, who's kind of like, you know, he has some history in the league as an offensive coordinator, but, you know, it's my same argument last year with the Cardinals. It's like the Cardinals all over again. This defense might be good, just like the Cardinals defense last year I thought was pretty good considering how much they were on the field. But you're hiring an offensive coordinator that's not really aggressive. I don't know, man. I don't know what this franchise is doing. And I don't hate, I'm not like trying to throw shade at the Broncos here, but I just don't understand what the hell the vision is.
Yeah. Yeah. What did they end up with last year? What was the record?
It was 6-10, and you'll remember that. So they've never been able to figure out the quarterback situation, and I don't know if it's a situation with Elway running the show. You know how like Jordan when he's running, you know, whatever the Bobcats or the Hornets now. You know, and they're always like, you know, the criticism is, you know, Jordan is such like a he's so talented, but because he's so talented, it's like he can't comprehend how talented he is.
Yeah, right.
And so like you're always looking for somebody to have that same makeup that you had, and you get so pissed when you can't find the people that are like, why can't you be more like me? I'm telling you what I did. Why can't you just reproduce what, you know? And so maybe like Elway has that going on with the quarterback situation there, but
yes, he may.
All he's done is he got Manning to come over, in free agency, which is a huge move. I mean, that alone is worth the whole 10-year of Elway. Just
yeah, that was a good one. I agree. That was right? good.
And he was able to use that, by the way, to pivot away from Tim Tebow. And he was in – you remember Tim Tebow won a playoff game going into that offseason? And he's not an NFL quarterback. And so, like, right. he was in a kind of like a PR situation there. He was able to get away from Tebow and get into Manning. Fantastic job there. But since then, they drafted that guy out of Memphis that had no business being drafted in the first round. I don't know why NFL GMs like Johnny Manziel, why can't you figure out that he's not a first-round pick? Like, this guy from Memphis, he's not a first-round pick. They can't figure anything out. They end up getting Case Keenum. Last year, and Keenum wasn't bad. I mean, like, compared to what they had the year before, I think his completion percentage was like higher. You know, he almost threw for 4,000 yards, 18 touchdowns to 15 interceptions, about what you'd think Case Keenum would do.
Sure.
But, you know, and it's easier said than done, but golly, now they have Flacco. I think Flacco's a little better, but I don't know.
I think Flacco's a little bit better. I do think that was a good move for them. I think actually that was the best move that they did since Manning. You know, I mean, you got this stellar defense. The game is not too big for Flacco. And we have seen and we have proven that when Flacco has a team around him, especially a defense, he can be extremely effective.
Yep.
And so, I think that's the theory, man. I mean, I think it's an excellent pickup for them.
Yeah, you know, Flacco got like a bunch of heat, almost like Manning, but not as much of Manning, and it's a different kind of heat. I know you hate Manning. to my delight, you hate Eli Manning. But, but you know, it's a little bit different. But like Manning and Flacco both won Super Bowls kind of young in their career. Not as young as Flacco was, I don't think, but... you know, Flacco won the Super Bowl in his contract year. Baltimore back then didn't extend him. So he ends up signing this massive contract because what else is Baltimore going to do?
Sure. You know,
they're going to let their Super Bowl winning quarterback go. They did that, by the way, after their first Super Bowl win in, I don't know, the early 2000s, whenever that was. And then they let Dilfer go for like Elvis Gerback or something, and it exploded. So they had to sign him because the franchise had been through something like that before. But then, you know, then you all of a sudden you have a player earning $20 million a year on that cap situation, which is way, that'd be like earning like 25 or 30 now.
Sure.
Back then, who's just not. He's not going to give you those kinds of results. And so, like, he gets – like, Flacco, I think, got criticized so much based on his contract rather than who the player he was. I don't think, sure. like, he's ever gotten worse or anything. And I
would absolutely agree. I mean, that's what happens when you start making that those big bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Did he deserve it? Did he not deserve it? I don't know. The guy had a good playoff run, right? I mean, he was lights out. It was mm-hmm. kind of like an Eli Manning syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what happens when you're expected to be that upper echelon. The criticism gets harsh.
Yeah.
It gets worse.
It comes with the territory.
And it comes with the territory. And, you know, I would agree, man. I think he's the same guy, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and that guy won a Super Bowl.
Exactly. Unless we're missing the fact that, you know how sometimes these quarterbacks, like, 35, they're good. 36, they're good. But all of a sudden, 37, it ain't there anymore.
Mm.
Unless we're missing that type of regression, he must be the same guy.
Yeah, and I guess he's had some injury issues and all that. But, you know, they didn't give up a lot for him, you know, in terms of draft. I think it was like a 6-round pick, if I'm not mistaken. Or maybe that's what they got for Keenum from Washington. I can't remember. I can't keep track of all the trades Washington makes for bad quarterbacks.
Okay. Nor would you want to.
Gosh, thank goodness I'm free of that relationship.
Yeah, that
speaking of relationships, did you see in the news that Antonio Brown was throwing shade at Juju Smith-Schuster?
Man, he's making himself look so small. Doesn't he understand that?
I don't know, man. I guess not. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I tweeted it or if it was on Instagram, but I said something like, you know, Antonio Brown is basically he's your friend in an after school special that like tried one doobie and is like driving off a cliff, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
listen, man. Okay. Rule number one, when going on a date with a woman or having a new woman, when she asks you, tell me about your ex, tread lightly. You never, ever dog them out. You just don't. You say, you know what? She had a lot of great qualities. It just wasn't a good fit. No matter if she cheated on you, no matter if she was an alcoholic that tried to beat your ass every night, it doesn't matter. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you go back and you start talking trash about your ex-employer, your ex-woman, it makes you look like the problem. Does it not?
Yeah, actually, I think if I'm not mistaken, Smith-Schuster on Twitter or again Instagram, he came back. He said he put a quote out, like it was like a Mark Twain quote that said something like, "You know, never argue with a fool because strangers who see the conversation might not be able to know the difference." And it's basically like if you guys are arguing back and forth about this stuff, you both look like idiots. So Smith-Schuster, he just put that picture up and just said, you know, shaking my head. And I think he might have said, you know, all I've ever done is shown the guy respect. I don't know where he's coming from on this, but I'm not going to engage in it. And you know, I think that's why he's a Steeler and Antonio Brown isn't. You know, He's out doing these Dancing with the Stars and, you know, singing under a disguise and bleaching his mustache instead of.
Well, he's obviously got a very large and very fragile ego.
Fragile. Right? That's my point. It's fragile ego. And I don't know what is this guy like? If I put up his stat line, my personality, I'd just be thinking like, you know, really, like, look at what I've done in my career. And I would just be quiet about it because I've already done all my talking on the field.
Yes, that does all the talking. There's no doubt that he's an amazing receiver.
I think deep down he knows that his numbers are going to fall off a cliff this year.
Yeah, so he's looking to make the other parties involved be the faulty ones.
Yeah.
I think the Raiders front office should pull his little ass in there and say, dude, shut up. You're with us. That's it. It's over, right? Like, come on, dude. Because obviously his head is still in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
It's still there, and that is not a good thing. That is over. That is done. Everything that happened happened, and you're here now, so shut up about it.
Yeah, but, you know, then you have who's running the front office there. You have Mike Mayock, you know, fresh off of his TV gig. You know, does he have – you know, that's one of these things that the NBA does this all the time. They hire ex-players – or TV personalities to like run an organization. And like you, Brad, you know, you and I were professionals and like, you know, in business field and all that. It's, you know, the stuff that you have to deal with, like HR rules, for example.
Yeah, right,
like, yeah, I mean,
right.
You just how to manage a staff as opposed to be the talent on a staff, right? Like, you know, Mayock is going from, you know, a makeup person, you know, patting his face with whatever, and then, you know, people in his ear feeding him information, like producers in the show. Oh, make sure you ask this. Make sure you ask. You know, now he's going from that world where everybody's basically catering to him to make him do better to now he's the one that's trying to make everybody else do better. Mm. Does he have it within him to have that conversation with Antonio Brown? I don't know.
Well, he may not. And you know, that's a great question because somebody – who doesn't have it within them to have these type of conversations would be the type of guy to hire someone like that.
Yes.
Right? Because I'm sure there were many people that wouldn't stand for this type of behavior that passed on them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 31 other guys.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. that's probably maybe they say, you know what? He's going to talk trash and he's going to run amok and he's going to be a bit of a scene, but at least we'll be relevant and he's a badass receiver. So we'll take it. You know, that could possibly be the deal.
He was with that turd Ben Roethlisberger throwing him the ball. You know, I don't know if I'm very curious. I'm still hoping and pleading. Please, HBO, put these people on Hard Knocks. Please.
Oh, no kidding. Are they eligible?
They are eligible, man. I want that to happen so bad.
That would be a sweet one for sure.
Oh, my gosh. It would be great. Anyway, so we're actually still talking about the Denver Broncos, but we can just close this up. Philip Lindsay loved him. He was so electric. What I couldn't figure out is why they didn't use him more. Like, I'm looking – dude, he was 5.4 yards per carry.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't get it either, dude. I mean, the Packers are guilty too. The run game is working, and it's just like all of a sudden a quarter and a half goes by, and you ran it twice, and you haven't gotten a first down. And it's like, what? Well, what happened to that?
Well, I mean, the Packers, I can give a little bit of a pass because you have Mr. Discount Doublecheck throwing the ball.
Well, I guess so. I feel you on that. I mean,
I don't like it. Don't get me wrong. I'm with you. I think you should commit to the run regardless. But if you're not going to commit to the run, putting it in Discount Doublecheck's hands as opposed to Phil Lindsay.
It's a good idea.
Or Case Keenum, you know? It's like, run a
– Look, I get you. But it's the same like, all right, you have one of the best players. That's all agreed on, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like Michael Jordan and the Bulls didn't get better until Michael scored 28 a game. as opposed to having to score 38 a game.
Right.
In order to get a win. You know what I mean? It's a team sport, and even more so in football. So in my mind, if the running game is working, whatever, like then everybody benefits, including Rodgers, including in this case, Flacco.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big beef I always have with Dirk Cutter, and what I'm a little concerned about with Cliff Clavin-Kingsbury coming into Arizona is these guys, these coaches that call, like, I don't know, 70% passing plays. When it's like a 7-3 ratio, I mean, that's tough.
Not good,
yeah,
man.
Because you're making yourself one dimensional, and you're basically making the defensive coordinator's job easier. Like somebody like Belichick will come in and be like, "You want to pass on me? Okay, I'm going to play one down lineman and drop 10 into coverage."
Right, and it's been proven. I mean, you know, nothing happens in a vacuum. There's exceptions to everything, but it has been proven that the running game opens up the passing game. And not vice versa.
Yep.
It doesn't really correlate the other way, you know?
Yep.
And I think, like, I don't know, all my experience comes from watching the Packers, obviously, because I watch them every weekend. But all the really good teams we ever had amazing running games also. And it was like we started there.
Like Dorsey Levins and all those guys.
Dorsey Levins, Amon Green even, you know, like
Grant,
running game was stout, man. And so that's just what I know and what I've seen from this league.
Amon Green was an underrated running back in history, man. He was. Yeah. Like, you're never going to hear about him again.
Right, I know, right? He really is underrated.
Like, he'll be like a Packers Hall of Famer, he should. But, like, dude, he was good. He was really good.
He was good in 02. I think he ran for 1,883 yards.
Yeah.
Nerd alert. Yeah, he was baller, man. He was good in the screen game, too.
We hadn't
been good in the screen since then. It's been like 15 years. But I digress, not to talk about the pack. But, yeah, man, I think, you know, if you got a running back that gets chunks at a time, why are you going away from it?
Yeah, and I'm looking. So they had 192 basically carries for Philip Lindsay, 130 for Royce Freeman, who averaged 4 yards per carry. And let me tell you. So that's a combined 320 attempts from the top two running backs there, compared to Case Keenum, who had 586 attempts as a passer. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's you need to even that up.
But yes, absolutely agree.
That's a 2-1 ratio.
Or even go the other way on it.
Yeah, man. Exactly. So I think there's your problem right there. You're probably your best, you know, wire to wire, best skill player. Because Emmanuel Sanders is good, but he got, you know, injured.
Right.
Demaryius Thomas got traded in the middle of the season. You know, Philip Lindsay was the best player wire to wire. He was kind of putting up numbers similar to the running back, McCaffrey out in Carolina, but he had much less touches. But then again, Carolina sucked too. By the end of the year, they're about that 5-11, 6-10, I think, maybe 7.
Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows Carolina, man?
Who knows?
I can't get them right in season. I probably got their record wrong.
You know what is another thing I can't guess is the Bucks, man. Every time I put money on them, they go exactly
no,
the other
way. I'm dialed into Bucks, man. I make money on
are you?
Every week I make money on the Buccaneers. Because you're
all right.
Yeah, I mean, basically Jameis is the kind of quarterback that he'll have. No, what I was wrong on, Brad, was Fitzpatrick. I can't get a read on Fitzpatrick when he plays. But Winston, I'm dialed in because he'll, you know, once the expectation's high when they're playing a bad team and he should throw 5 touchdowns, he threw 5 interceptions. And he'll do that for like 3 games in a row. And then he'll come out and he'll throw for like, you know, 500 yards, 4 touchdowns, 158.3 quarterback rating.
Yeah, so, the game I bet against him.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So... You just basically once the world has given up on him, he plays well, but once he's starting to get some hype, he sucks.
So. Yeah, he can't live up to the hype. That is a good point. He never has been able to.
Dude.
Every time we give him a little pub and a little like, all right, this guy, you know, he can do it.
I think I've only missed on one game on the Bucks where I've actually taken him, because sometimes I'll just take him off the board, but. I've missed on one bet on the Bucks in the last like 2 or 3 years, and it was the Patriots because they covered against the Patriots.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they would do something like that.
Yeah, exactly. They would.
Yeah, they would.
Yahoo is getting in on everybody's favorite game of skill. Daily fantasy is going to be big this year with plenty of time to get in on the NBA action. Baseball is right around the corner and golf is in full swing. Get everybody's swing. It's the perfect time to start playing Yahoo Daily Fantasy. Never played Daily Fantasy before? I certainly, Brad and I have been on it, so we can be your guide as we talk about week to week here. But Yahoo, as you covered, unlike those other Daily Fantasy sites that let users enter 150 different lineups in their biggest contest, which, by the way, that really sucks because when these experts add those 150 different lineups, that hurts your chances to win. Yahoo has a 10-entry max, which is awesome. That's why I love it. That means better chances for you to win the big contests. You can also try their daily no-management fee contests. Management fee refers to the amount of money the sites take to run the contest. As a result of contests with no management fee, have fewer entries with the same amount of prizes. So that's always a good thing as well. Sign up today on at yahoo.com/dailyfantasy. That's yahoo.com/dailyfantasy. Or by downloading the Yahoo Fantasy app. That's my preferred way to do it. Get $25 in free play. This is important, everybody. I'm going to give you a promo code here. Get $25 in free play when you make your first deposit using promo code POD25. That's POD25. The numbers 2 and 5. No waiting on the bonus. You can also use it immediately to enter contests. The minimum deposit is only $5, and the promo code, once again, everybody, is POD25. With the start of baseball season, Podcast One Sportsnet has all your bases covered. Get your fix with home run shows like Dan Patrick Show and the Rich Eisen Show and Baseball and Chill. Don't miss new episodes of these shows and more all summer long on Podcast One Sportsnet. Let's move to the Chiefs. I think we can quickly sum this up. Mahomes is a lot better than everybody thought that he is. You know?
Yeah, and he's for sure, and he's probably just going to get better. Oh, I mean, it's a rare thing going on over there.
I can't believe it. I can't believe how good he was.
He was incredible, right? I mean, what did he throw? Like 50 touchdowns, and just some of the throws he like.
I know.
Late in the year, it was like he converted on like 2 fourth downs with like perplexing throws, like. Just stuff that shouldn't have happened, and well, it's just wild.
Let me just be the devil's advocate for one of those. That Ravens fourth down, it was either in overtime or late in the fourth quarter, where he threw across his body and he hit Tyreek Hill running. Okay, that was lucky. All right.
I mean, well,
now you got to take the shot. You got to be in a position to get lucky, and you got to put the ball in a window to get lucky. That was a lucky. That should not have happened. But his talent
put the play on his own.
Mm-hmm, you're right.
Okay,
you're right. I'm just saying, like one of the, it's a pet peeve of mine, like when these analysts, and another example of this is like if you see like the top 10 on ESPN and you see a goalie will like be on, like a goalie will be on his back and he'll be facing the wrong direction and he'll lift his pad and
it's a lucky thing.
It's lucky. Right now he's a good goalie. He's athletic enough to have the wherewithal to stick up his hand. Okay. And Mahomes, like I'm not throwing shade at the guy because the guy is freaking awesome. But that play is just, I always see them just like, guys, that shouldn't have happened. That was like a busted coverage from Baldwin.
Okay. But there's an ounce of luck to it. I'll give you that.
Maybe, there is an ounce of luck.
Maybe about 8 ounces.
But you're right. But he has to extend the play and he has to have enough where he's running 10 miles an hour one direction, enough arm strength
to get it back over there.
To get it back over there against his body, which is an incredible athletic feat. So I don't want to be a complete ass about that play. But
point taken, dude. I'm not disagreeing.
Yeah, but let me just read you a stat line, just because it's so incredible. So 12-4, obviously 16 games has started. 12-4, it's first full season starting, right?
And did they not lose 2 high-powered weapons in that time?
Kareem Hunt.
They lost the running back due to the disciplinary right actions. And who's the other guy they lost to injury? Didn't they?
Sammy Watkins.
Okay.
10
okay.
games. So not a high-powered guy, but, you know, still.
But
I mean, he's your
the
second
other guy
receiver.
There, Kareem Hunt, total badass.
Yeah,
right?
Total badass.
Talent.
Yeah.
They lost that guy and took New England, you know, they went toe-to-toe with them.
And let's see, 580 attempts, 383 completions, 66% passing, 5,097 yards, 50 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. Over 4-1 touchdown to INT in his first season starting as quarterback. Just incredible.
Oof, that is wild.
Just incredible. Can you imagine if he comes? I mean, who knows, right? Who knows? And I don't think this will happen because it's so hard to do. Can you imagine if he comes out and throws for another 50?
I mean, obviously that'd be a record, right? To do it twice.
He'd be the only one to do it, I think, two seasons in a row, if I'm not mistaken.
Now, was he a rookie last year, or was he?
It was
like
his second year, because he had kind of like a
first starter
understudy role. He had started one game week 17 in the 2017 season. It didn't really look that great. Everybody said he did, but he was throwing the ball into double coverage. Like, he was making some questionable decisions that really just didn't work out poorly for him. Like, he could have very easily had, I watched that whole game, he could have easily had like two or three picks in that game, but you know, the picks weren't dropped and people saw the stats and I'm like, oh great. So like, that was one of the reasons I wasn't super high on him, because I was like, good guys, you know, he'll probably be good, but you know, pump the brakes a little bit, you know. And yeah, I was wrong. Gosh, man, that guy was so good. And then on top of that, so here's what I was really impressed with Patrick Mahomes. Like, when I was going through and I was, again, you know, because I've been working on this draft guide, this fantasy football almanac draft guide stuff, I was thinking, okay, for sure, you know, Mahomes, you know, in addition to his great season passing, he'll probably have some quality runs and everything. He only ran the ball 60 times the whole season. So that's, what is that, roughly four a game, give or take?
It's not a low number, but it's not a high number.
Right, 272 yards, two more touchdowns. So he did 52 touchdowns basically between passing and receiving, which is insane. Kareem Hunt, we mentioned, you know, he kicked a woman on videotape, so he was not long for the world of the Patriots. But you know, honestly, Damian Williams kind of stepped right in for them and just kind of kept that thing rolling. So.
Well, they are a deep team, man. They have a lot of talent and a lot of key spots. Let's not discount that.
Yeah.
They're faster than other teams. Yeah,
I know. But, you know, right? Tariq Hill, there's no video of it, but I guess he got in an altercation with an underage kid, like maybe like some teenager.
Oh, God.
It wouldn't – dude, if there's any like cell phone evidence or anything of this, he's gone.
Yeah,
the precedence
no
there
good.
Is gone. And if he's gone, oh, that's, I mean, like, look, they're still going to be good. Don't get me wrong, but he's a big piece of that puzzle. Mm-hmm. So then I'm looking at his stats now. Obviously, they're going to be good because all this stuff. So he actually rushed the ball 22 times. So he was good for more than a rush a game, you know, on those end arounds. 151 yards, a touchdown, 137 targets, 87 receptions, 1,479 yards, 12 touchdowns for Tariq Hill. Holy crap. Mm. Where's the tight end?
Not a bad year. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Kelsey, 150 targets, 150, 103 receptions, 1,336 yards, 10 touchdowns. My gosh.
Yeah.
What a unit.
Yeah, they got it going on over there for sure. I think they lost some key defenders, did they not?
Yeah, they're getting picked apart a little bit in free agency, but they've also made a change, a very interesting change, Brad, is they hired the his name escapes me at the moment, you might remember it, but the defensive coordinator from those New York Giants Super Bowl teams.
Mm.
Spagnuolo. He's there now, and I think we talked about last week on Functional Sportsaholic, I think we talked a little bit about the Houston Rockets and about how they're like the Rockets this season. They're not really concerned so much about, you know, making the playoffs and being the one seed. They just want to beat Golden State in the playoffs. And their general manager has basically just tried to create a team that, from an analytics point of view, at least can beat the Warriors in the playoffs. It seems like Kansas City's doing this too. They're trying to just get over the Patriots hump, which...
Well, I'd say it's a good strategy.
Yeah, right. Get to the guy that could, you know, devise that, you know. For Brady, it's all about getting to him with a four-man rush, right? I have seven people in coverage and getting to him with four. And nobody could do it last year, and they won a Super Bowl. When you can get to him in four, you can give him some problems.
Right. Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. Let's move it to the the Chargers. So 12-4, we liked them. I actually picked them to cover against the Patriots in the playoffs. You did not. So, yeah, you did, as you always do. I mean, you're dialed into the playoffs, so you did pretty well there.
That was a bust, that game, man.
Yeah, man,
that was a terrible, terrible game.
I remember, I think I was building furniture, like IKEA furniture, and I flipped the game on. I was like 10 minutes into the game. And they were already losing by like 21 points.
I would rather build that damn furniture than watch that. You know, like, God, man, the Chargers had nothing.
Yeah, it was like, you know, one of those they were defeated before they went out or something situation. But Rivers, man, he's still looking good. Let's see, 68.3% completion, 4,300 yards, 32 touchdowns. That's awesome, man. And then they commit to the run as well, which is nice. So
Rivers is amazing, man. I can't believe he's still out there doing it like that.
Yeah, and he's because he came out of that draft class with Roethlisberger and Eli Manning, and both of those two have two Super Bowls to their name, and Rivers is almost like the forgotten guy. I wonder if he's going to be a Hall of Famer. I think we might have talked about that before the start of the year.
Well, that's a great question. I mean, with no rings, it's tough.
Yeah, but he's going to reach. Let me look. Let me pop open his career stats.
He has quite the tenure in the resume. I'll give you that.
Let me look. So he's he was league age 37 last year. So he'll be league age 38 this year. Let me look at his career numbers. 7,000 completions, a career 64.5% passer, 54,000 yards, 374 touchdowns career. Yeah, I'm going to have to pull up like where that ranks on the passing all-time passing leader stats and figure it out. So I'll pull that up while we continue to talk about it. But he's still doing it. He's still playing at a high level. And if he's one of these guys that wants to and can still play like well into their 40s, he could put together, 30 touchdowns over four more years, 120.
Yeah,
touchdowns.
I agree.
He could
get
to 500 touchdowns, man.
And even though he's not mobile, he's mobile enough. He uses his feet when he needs to, but it always is thinking pass first. So that's going to create some longevity.
Dude, so he's number six all time on the career touchdowns list today.
No, okay. Well, that changes the story a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, so he's got 374. Marino's got 420. So if Marino's next, he's not going to catch him this year, but if he plays two more years, he'll be top five. Now, nipping on his heels are the other two people from his draft class. He have Roethlisberger at 363 and Eli at 360.
All right, but let me say this. What's his name there? Rivers. He has very little – I don't know the numbers, but his playoff record – is poor.
Oh yeah.
And it's almost non-existent, you know? I mean, he's got nothing to offer by way of one rings or AFC championships. But he went to one, was that like 15 years ago? I mean, he must be about 3-8 in playoffs.
Yeah,
something
I know.
Like that.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And that's going to be the argument. And then you have Roethlisberger and Manning. I'm looking at active passing career. So Rivers is eighth in total yards in a career. Roethlisberger's sixth, Manning's seventh. So even though he has more touchdowns, he has less in yards. But I think all – gosh, Manning is such a weird one too because he has the two Super Bowls. But, like, you know, it's Eli Manning, you know. Do you vote him in?
I mean, I would based on that, based on longevity and those two Super Bowls. I think, you know, you win two – I mean, what else do you want? They're almost like opposites, Rivers and Manning. Rivers is a total badass and plays great all the time, but has no playoff, you know, pedigree. But Manning kind of has stunk forever, but for some reason has two rings. It's perplexing.
Yeah, it is perplexing, but I'm looking at some other case studies here. So you have Warren Moon, really not a lot of playoff success. He's in the Hall of Fame now, Fran Tarkenton. So, like, I don't think he'll be a first ballot. And I don't think Eli Manning's going to be first ballot either, but I think someday Rivers gets in. And I don't know, man. I'd give him the nod. I think he's been a better quarterback in a career than Eli Manning has. But I would give the nod in that draft class to Ben Roethlisberger, though, personally.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He's definitely a Hall of Famer.
But to be fair to those other three, you know, Roethlisberger's had a better organization. You know, he was in a better situation there.
Yeah, right.
Can you imagine, like, today?
He was.
But Roethlisberger,
it's not like Rivers was in a bad situation, and it's not like Eli Manning was ever in a bad situation. I mean, all three of them, I think, have been pretty lucky with coaching and talent, et cetera, you know?
Yeah, I would say that Manning and Roethlisberger were on better organizations. The Chargers, you know, they had that Schottenheimer, and then, you know, the GM got, you know, it was a big ego war between Schottenheimer and the GM, so they fired Schottenheimer, like, when they were consistently going 15-1 and 14-2, and then they replaced him with Norv Turner.
Yeah.
You know, and then they've had a couple of those kind of – Wade Phillips might have gotten a shot. Maybe that was before Schottenheimer. I can't remember. But, you know, they just did some weird stuff to him. So, like, I think they kind of sunk the middle of his career. Like, basically between LaDainian Tomlinson and Melvin Gordon, however long that was. It's weird. Anyway, yeah, for the rest of the team, another thing that, impresses me about Rivers is that he seems to do it without having crazy good wide receivers.
Correct. I agree.
Like, I mean, like.
Can you name one receiver that was an all-timer that ever played with that guy?
An all-timer, no. I do like Keenan Allen quite a bit. I think he's a little underrated. Mm-hmm. 136 targets, 97 completions, but he's not an over-the-top guy. He's more of a possession kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And I can't name anybody else that he's had, like, his whole career other than Keenan Allen. I can't, than Antonio Gates, right?
Right. But that's tight end.
Yeah, it's tight end.
That was a good one, Gates. You know, he's still there doing it. But, yeah, I'm with you. Keenan McCardle, the guy from the Bucks, right? Didn't he have him for a touch?
He might have. That sounds right.
Yeah.
One receiver. I can't name one freaking receiver. At least Brady, I can come up with Moss and Welker and Edelman.
Sure. Yeah, that's
it's interesting.
That's a good point. Yeah.
And the two of us are nerds. Like, we can usually come up with this stuff.
Sure. I mean, we can recite this stuff in our sleep, right?
It's not a problem.
Yeah, it's pretty sad, but it's our version of sadness. Let's own it. But you're right, dude. He really hasn't. And the one we can name was just kind of pretty good, I guess.
Let me go back to the 2011 Chargers, just because I want to see who he was working with that long ago. Running back was Ryan Matthews. You remember him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
He had Vincent Jackson.
Yeah, I remember Vincent Jackson.
Yeah, I remember him, but I always remember him being overrated. Malcolm Floyd. Gosh. Holy moly. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me go back to 2009 just for fun. This is riveting podcast radio. But hopefully some people are into some of the stats, these interesting things here. What is going on with this? So let's see. Rivers, maybe I should have gone back to like 2004. Well, okay, he had Tomlinson, so those were some of the good years.
Yeah, he did have LaDainian. I give you that.
He still had Vincent Jackson, Antonio Gates. That's it, man. Vincent Jackson is basically the other receiver that he had for a while. And you mentioned Keenan McCardell at the beginning of his career. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
So he did have him, right?
I'm guessing he did.
Yeah.
I'm guessing he did. I think he did. I know McCardell was on the Chargers. I just don't know if those were during the Breeze years or not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway. All right, let's finish it off with the Raiders. Dumpster fire, we saw it coming.
Yeah, of course. And I don't expect that fire to be put out anytime soon, do you?
No, and this is a funny... No, I don't. I think it's going to roar for another 9 years here. But interesting thing. So I'm looking at the stats. This is a perfect example of why stats aren't the end-all, be-all. Derek Carr, 553 attempts, 68.9% completion percentage, mm-hmm. 4,000 yards. Can you name one from 2018 that mattered?
No.
And no, I can think all I can think about it from when I think 2018 Raiders, all I think about is Amari Cooper being wide open with nobody within 20 yards of him and Derek Carr checking the ball down.
Yeah, that's pretty much the story of the season, right?
Yeah, so 19 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. I don't know what's going on with Carr. I think he needs, and I'm not being like a jerk when I say this. I really honestly believe it. I think he needs to go to like a sports psychologist, and because he was so good a couple years ago, and then like now it's just like he's careful. I think maybe that leg break has like gotten into his head. Like he needs to get rid of the ball quickly or something.
Yeah, man, that's possible. He's definitely a different guy.
He is, man. Like I thought like he was going to be like one of the next big things, at least like a Matt Ryan, you know, who I think is on the second tier of quarterbacks. But yeah, I mean, it's not working. And like you look at that stat line, you're like, hey, man, 4,000 yards and 68%. He just needs to throw, you know, 10 more touchdown passes. And but he's just not taking the chances, you know. And it's almost like Alex Smith. It's like Alex Smith syndrome.
Yeah, because he was a ball. You know, everyone compared him to Brett Favre, which is Mr. Chances. You know, like now we call him Brett Favre, and then we call him the opposite, Alex Smith. It's really bizarre.
Brett Favre.
I thought about that the other day. Just think about how famous Brett Favre is that we never even – like everyone stopped considering, how the hell are you spelling your last name, dude? Either you're spelling it wrong or pronouncing it wrong. And nobody said it anymore.
Yeah, nobody calls him on it, right?
Like nobody calls him on it.
Why is that R behind the V? What's that about?
It's like we don't even see it. You move that damn R. You get over there.
All right, it's the gunslinger. You can keep it.
Okay, all right.
Looking at the skill players here, they didn't really have a lot. Jared Cook was obviously the best, but he's gone. He's going to be in New Orleans this year, man. That's going to be interesting.
That will be interesting. I like him.
Yeah, there's a lot of balls to go around there, and or a lot of mouths to feed, let's say, in that New Orleans offense next year. But you know, we'll crunch the numbers. We'll get that going. But Doug Martin, 4.2 yards a carry. Marshawn Lynch, 4.2 yards a carry. When he played, he only played in 6 games. Oh gosh, the rest kind of sucks, man. Jordy Nelson, that was depressing watching Jordy Nelson last year.
Yeah, well, the Pack should have never let him go. I think that was a big mistake.
Yeah.
Big mistake, man. I think a Jordy Nelson in Green Bay is 20 receptions more productive, 5 more touchdowns than he is in Oakland.
I 100% agree. I think I said that in the guide last year. It's like, you know, you can't replace chemistry.
Sure.
You know, that's again, this is why my whole thing when I do these guides, when we talk about this on the show, the functional sportsaholic, which is supposed to be a fun, like a pun, you know, like functional, like math function. My whole argument is like analytics gets you like 80% of the way there, but you need to have some kind of understanding. What analytics can't account for is, you know, which players show up in big moments, you know, who can like we were just talking about Carr, who can stand in the pocket and take a hit and deliver the ball 40 yards downfield when you need it.
Yeah.
They can't analyze, you know, like, you know, things like, what we were just talking about, like Jordy Nelson be able to get that back shoulder fade with Aaron Rodgers. Like,
right.
They can't analyze how many times Ben Roethlisberger just like looks in Antonio Brown's direction and Antonio Brown knows exactly what route to run.
Right. You can't replace that.
You can't. And Jordy Nelson leaving, I absolutely agree. If for no other, even if he's the fifth wide receiver on that roster, like, what are you doing? And maybe the Packers wanted that to happen. I don't think they did, but maybe the Packers wanted to make that happen. Say, Jordy, we really need you to take a massive pay cut to stay on this team. But I don't think that they did, man. I think they just cut him loose and said, let's go with the young people. And I think for the Packers last season, that was a bad move.
Right.
I would sooner, if I were the GM of the Packers, I would sooner cut Randall Cobb than Jordy Nelson.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, and I was never a Cobb guy. I'm totally with you on that. I think that, first of all, the guy can never stay on the field, right? I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, like 5 weeks go by and I'll go, do we even have that guy anymore? Then he plays for a game and a half and then he's gone for another 5. Beyond that, Nelson had just – he was a smart player. Was he the fastest? No. Biggest? No. But, man, and a good guy. Not that Cobb wasn't a good guy, but he was a good teammate.
Yeah.
You know, he was a team guy.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of the people, because we've heard the stuff in the press with Rodgers and, like, you know, does he or doesn't he get along with all of his team? You know, he got along with Jordy Nelson, right? Jordy Nelson is a leader in the locker room. I think that was a mistake, getting rid of him. And Rodgers certainly wasn't happy about it when it happened. So that was a mistake. And watching him.
Well, if he's not happy about it, then what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
You got to make that guy happy. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to get someone else like him ever.
Yeah. And like what, you know, and even, you know, I know your job as a general manager is, you know, you can't cater to Aaron Rodgers, but give him something once, right?
Right.
Everything that they do, like they let Jared Cook go to Oakland, you know, and all he wanted, it's like, this is Aaron Rodgers. He's like, can you just sign the tight end? Like, I'm not asking you to go out and trade for Antonio Brown. Like, you don't hear him in the news saying, hey, we got to get AB, man. He's available. You don't hear that stuff from him. You just hear like, hey, you know, can you re-sign my tight end? I thought we had some good chemistry on the field together. And you're like, oh, no. No, we're just going to let him go.
Yeah, we're just going to let him go. We don't care what you say. We don't care what you want.
Yeah, we're gonna fire your by the way, we're going to replace your quarterback coach and not consult you about it.
Right. It was the whole thing's ridiculous.
It is. They seem like a little bit of an immature front office to me. And maybe McCarthy was some of that problem. Maybe not. I don't know. But, you know, I hope for Packers fans' sake, for your sake, Brad, since you root for them so hard, I hope they get that stuff figured out soon.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that.
Anyway, so the Raiders sucked. Just to tie a bow on that.
Yeah. Just to put a little pin on it.
Yeah, and the two trades they made, by the way, for the first rounders, they kind of blew up because I think they thought they were getting better picks than they got. They're getting 2 picks in the 20s, and they're 4 and 12. I don't know where they pick. I forgot. But, you know, somewhere in the top 10, obviously. But, yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. But I look forward to watching them on Hard Knocks. HBO, make it happen.
Yeah, please do it. I think they'll do it.
Yeah. All right, man. I think we can tie it up there. You got anything else for us, big guy?
I miss it. I'm looking forward to it coming back. Good game last night. No, did you watch that? Did you take it in?
Yeah, I watched it. You know, Virginia, you guys are right. I was kind of depressed when Michigan State lost, and I'm like, man, I can't get anything right because I think I called them to win, not only you know, win that game, but you know, advance from the Final Four into the finals after I recalibrated. So it's like the first game that could happen, and something bad happened in the NCAA bracket. It happened to me, so. Part of the course. That's why I don't bet on NCAA basketball so much.
It's difficult, man. It's very difficult.
Yeah. You know, getting inside the mind, I don't do it in college football really either. I mean, getting inside of the mind of a 19-year-old in a big game.
Kidding, man. I mean, come on. That's – Jesus. How the hell are you going to put money on that and know what's coming?
No, thank you. I stay away from that. It's you just never know what you're going to get. So.
Right.
All right. Well, man, hey, great talking. I thought it was a fun episode, and – everybody out there, go out, get paid, make some cash, make some money. Looking for the MLB stuff. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter to get the MLB inside stuff. It's at @TFS_Sean. I think I went a little Matthew McConaughey there. All right,
that's good, man. All right. Yeah.
All right, everybody, go out, get paid.
Peace out.